Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh,
magnify
the Lord
with me. His name together. Come on and magnify the Lord with me. His name together.
Mighty things that he has done. We would like to welcome you to another segment of the Crossroad Broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. To God be the glory for the great and the mighty things that he has done. I know many of you enjoyed our broadcast on last week when we talked about grief. I think that's such an important topic that nobody really sometimes don't want to really talk about it, but there are many issues, many concerns, many things that people really need to know when they're going through grief, and the reason why that some people and all of us really at some time will experience grief, whether or not it's the grief of a lost one, grief of a person in our lives that moved to another city, or whatever it may be that brought separation. So today, here on the Crossroad Broadcast, we want to begin talk about the topic, want to talk about the topic, grief. So at this time, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace, and we're going to have Dr. June Normeal, who's going to be our speaker for today, as she spoke on last week. So get ready as she comes before us in prayer, and then she is going to again enlighten us about the topic grief. Dr. June Normeal.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just want to thank you once again, God, for allowing us, God, to come before you, God, to come before your people this day, God, because this is the day that you have made, God, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. God, we thank you in advance, God, of the words and the revelation, God, the solutions, God, to all the problems, God, the questions that we answer, God, to everybody that may be in question about what's going on in their lives, God. We thank you now, God, for what's going to take place. We thank you, God, for revelation knowledge. And Holy Ghost, we welcome you to have your way and control our lives today. We give you this broadcast, and may you receive it, God, of what we do today to enlighten your people, God, of you. May you receive it with a sweet sound of your ear and a sweet smell of your nostrils. We love and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Like today, I thank God for allowing me to come before you to conclude our topic of grief. And last week, I talked about the first two subtopics. We talked about the causes of grief, the Bible, and grief. And this week, we're going to talk about the effects of grief, prevention of grief, and also the conclusion of grief. And the definition of grief is deep sorrow, especially that caused by someone's death. But deep sorrow is not the only symptom. A person can experience misery and sadness, anguish, distress, heart attacks, heartbreak, agony, torment, affliction, suffering, despair, and many more symptoms. But grief is simply an emotion that people express differently. And we're going to be talking about the effects of grief. And it's hard to pinpoint different effects and the permanent effects of grief, because all of us are different. God created all of us different, and we have different temperaments and different emotions. But grief, it often begins with the first stage, a person being in shock, numbness, you know, denial, intense crying, and sometimes they can even collapse. But despite of these general trends that I'm giving you, many counselors, you know, they don't even try to attempt to identify specific stages of grieving. But I'm going to give you some of the effects that a person may experience during the time of grief. And the first one is physical effects, and grief does affect the body in a physical manner. And talking about the physical effect, when bereavement itself can be bad for a person, and you wonder, how can bereavement be bad? It's when everybody were experiencing some type of bereavement in their lives. But a bereavement can be bad in your health because, at least in the United States, it shows that the widows, they do not seem to visit a doctor after their loved one has been deceased. The living person, they seem to stop going to the doctor or either going to the hospital as they usually did before when they was married to the one that's been deceased. And it shows that the body itself is immune system become weak when a person dies because of the agony they have came upon their body. The immune system begins so weak that the viruses or diseases cause the organism to be more difficult to resist. Like if people easily catch a cold, easily catch the flu, and even their body system itself became to feel so weak when a person has been experienced a sign of a person being grieved. And the death rate increased significantly during the first few years of widowhood. And it shows that a lot of times a person could be so attached to the person who has passed that sometimes shortly after that, statistics show that within 2 years, a lot of the living persons that was once with that person, they find themselves dying. They find themselves losing and giving up hope within life because they miss that individual. And grief also can put a lot of stress on the body. And a person that they normally used to do a lot of things physically, like get up and normal routines, maybe exercise or read a newspaper, they have no interest in that. They lose their appetite, and some of them have the inability. They can't even sleep like they used to sleep. And but the first few months of bereavement are physical difficulty. They do go through that a lot, and that's just normal for a person. And not only does it attack the body emotionally, it deals with the cognitive effect. It takes the way a person feels about themselves and other people they used to be around. It affects them in that way, how they think about themselves. They don't see themselves as the way they used to see themselves before. And depression is common following the death of a loved one. And the person, they get depressed, they have anxiety, they have that empty feelings on the inside, and they also feel guilty. And some are even be angry. They feel angry with themselves or feeling like they could be the reason why that death took place, or if they were doing a certain thing or wasn't doing a certain thing, they could have prevented that. And a lot of times they get irritable about a lot of things where people come around there and they withdraw from others. And a lot of times you lose interest in all kind of way. A lot of people lose interest in sex. And sometimes it affects the person that they dreams about the deceased individual. They have nightmares about it. And a lot of times they start judging the situation that will happen, and they start feeling lonely. But at a time when grieving persons feel least able to handle extra pressure, at that time, they feel like they can't even do what they normally used to do. They can't handle no normal pressure. A lot of times it affects the person so much in that area that they're not even able to go to work. They have given so many bereaved days that sometimes that don't even be enough for individuals. They can't see themselves going to work like they normally supposed to do and would have done. And they find themselves that their bank account, they find that they can't keep up with the paying the bills like they normally would. They just their mind just not in that area to be fitted and taking care of themselves, and taking care of things. A lot of times you'll see a person that was living with someone or a person who had passed in their individual life, that person no longer, you might see themselves not even keeping up their appearance anymore. And then you might see even like their houses used to be upgraded and nice and manicured, the yard. You might see it now that the grass need cutting. And a lot of things, they just seem to can't even hold and take care and grasp a business like they normally would do. And it just deals with a person in the emotional state. And so different, like I said, each other, because recently a friend of mine, mother has, and where it affects her so much that she just find herself just being not enough energy, can't stop thinking about her mother, and it's like she's taking a longer time to go on with her life. But even like it caused her in a situation that she was just about, her job was threatening to get rid of her because she didn't have enough time that she wanted to be able to get over the grieving process. But everybody is different in how they do that. But as a person do grieve, it depends on who's in your life and what's going on in your life. Sometimes they have a certain time for you to get back in task, because like her job, and she wasn't able to go back to work emotionally. She would be there physically, emotionally. She wasn't able to perform her job performance like she knew she have. And she found herself so burdened down by trying to keep things in the house, like her mother has passed. She had to get rid of the clothes, trying to find how to get rid of all the memories and separate. And she found herself not even allow people even to go in the room by isolating herself. But, you know, for some people, the symptoms of grief comes in waves, but none of all the ones I talked about, none of it just sometimes come all at one time. You may come deal with some things shorter than the other time, but as the months pass by, they tend to fade away, but sometimes they'll come back with renewed intensity that a person needs to spend, they feel like they're getting over it, and they have been getting over it. But then all of a sudden, maybe a certain thing might take place of a holiday or that deceased person's birthday or a certain thing. It could be a favorite commercial might have been on TV or a favorite food they like. And when you see that person or you see that situation it's coming back before you, it brings memories of that deceased person, and it causes sometimes a person to be stagnant, they can't go on, and it really affects people a lot during times of holidays, like especially even their birthdays and wedding anniversaries, things that are very valuable to an individual. But sometimes when people are not free to mourn, you know, immediately after the death, a full grief reaction will be triggered by later anniversary or other reminders of the loss. Because a lot of times when a person has been deceased and you are thinking the spouse or the loved one may not react right then. And it's not that they don't care, but it's in the sense of a different part of grief they call pathological grief. It just haven't hit them yet. They know it's real sometimes, but they might say to them and themselves, they say, this can't be real, and they don't have any thing in them that get them go forward. They just feel like being in a state of denial. And also a person that different way the effects of grief is displayed is by social effects. You know, when the death of a loved one is one of a major social disruption, when a spouse dies, okay, the survivor it must learn to relate to others as a single adult. And while it may be a time that person been together for years and they always done things together as a couple, they go out to dinner, they go to meetings. When one person see one, they see the other. But a person have to now try to adjust as being a single or widow because their mate is no longer there with them. And even with grown children and other family members, find new demands on their time. You know, relationship between the surviving spouse and the dead person's family often show new and sometimes unexpected tension. Particularly, you know, if the surviving spouse start to date. And a lot of times that may cause confusion with the widow family, or the deceased family, because sometimes they feel like it's not fair to them to see that person go on with their life with someone else besides that spouse that had been deceased, even though it could be even a short time. You know, it all depends on the individual, how they seem to get over that relationship, with the individual. They got past that deceased, you know, quick, what's been on their life, and sometimes people, it's hard for the other side of the family, even the personal family, to receive that. And a lot of times people seem awkward, you know, to be there or to be around other people when their deceased spouse has been gone. The person might feel uncomfortable being around other people when they used to stand there with the person who has been deceased. But a lot of times, but the person has to go on. But it's a lot of things. Times you can receive emotions from people outside. Even your family will see you and look at you a different way. But you have to go on. But to avoid some of those social tensions, grieving people often need to withdraw from others. They get busy so they won't have to face their anxieties or they might start traveling. In themselves, none of these things are harmful, but each can also be a way to deny the reality of one new, unfamiliar, and uncomfortable social status. But a lot of times, like I said, people, they'll try to distance themselves by being withdrawn or they'll isolate themselves from other people because they don't even want to go through life, you know, without the tension from other people. Either they can't see themselves being with anybody else besides that deceased person. And like I talked about the first time, the pathological effects. And the pathological grief reaction occurs when the grief is denied. That's when a person is like in denial, and they could be denied of the death, or they could be delayed and never ending or distorted. So there is a intense fear, a guilt, you know, helplessness, withdrawal, or other evidence of pathological. This most often occurs when the dead person has their death has suddenly came or unexpected. That's when you weren't even expecting that person to die. All of a sudden, it could be like an accident or a heart attack. You weren't even expecting that to happen. And sometimes, even in that, it caused the mourner to be dependent on, you know, who was dependent on that deceased person. They could be angry because they feel like that person cheated them. They are out their life, and why did they leave them? And they feel like they can't go on. But it could be like a love, hate between the mourners and the lost ones. If there was unfinished business, like between the mourner, this say is a person, it could be a sister, brother, a spouse, sibling, a husband, a wife, anybody. And the pathological fate can affect the person's if you might have had an issue with your sibling or with your husband, whoever, mother, father, and that issue has been concluded. It hasn't been closed up. It hasn't been confronted, and that person died. It caused the living person to feel like they're guilty. Sometimes they live on the rest of their life with that guilt, feeling that that person never knew that. For example, that they really didn't mean what they say when they said they hated them. They never got a chance to make it right. And they have to live with that kind of grief. And that's not good, because it's something they're dealing with that they can't take back, because the person who's deceived is not coming back. And it happened in different ways, just like sisters or brothers or people who haven't talked. They've been angry until they ain't talked to each other in years, and conflicts that hadn't been resolved, a confession that hadn't been made, a love that hadn't been expressed. You know, a person can love a person, but they always want to show them, but they had a problem showing them that person, and they kept putting off on or trying to figure out how they was going to show somebody how they love them. But during that time, they never get a chance to do that, and that person died. And the person that is left alive have to deal with that. They have to deal with that, even if sometimes people might commit suicide, and they might had a letter or something left. Why are they committed suicide, and it may be affecting the person that's alive. Maybe they know who I said, the person alive did something to them, and that person lived with that guilt, and it caused the alive person just to continue to mourn about situations, and they try to find new challenging ways, you know, challenging ways to go on with their life. But sometimes it be difficult for others, but it can be conquered. It can be conquered. And then it's just like sometimes you never able had a chance, like some people in situations when they had problems with their siblings. But in the time their siblings had deceased, they took the challenge to start raising their children for them, you know, and started finding a way to make up and trying to, you know, to get that guilt away from them. But when grief is pathological, the surviving person may show several of the following behavior. I'm going to tell you something you may see in a person to let you know they're dealing with pathological grief. But some of these that I'm going to say is not evident in everybody, and few or none of these, what I'm going to talk about, may have been before the death. But be alert for the people who is still surviving, who show different signs of this era, and then let you know the things I'm going to read about now are the signs of the ones who have pathological grief, such as the person, the survivor, who is unwilling to talk about the deceased. It's accompanied by intense sadness whenever the dead person's name is mentioned. That's when you see people, when you were mentioning that someone had passed, and you see them person, you mention that person's name, and they just cry. And that's what some of the signs you will see. Another one is a tendency to speak of the deceased person in the present tense. For example, the person already has been deceased, but the person who's surviving may say, he doesn't like what I'm doing. You could be doing something with that individual who's alive with you, and they'll say, oh, he doesn't like what I'm doing. Or either sometimes you may see a person may have a dinner table set up, and they have a spot sitting down there exactly for that deceased individual, saying this is her or this is his place to eat at. No one can sit there. And that shows you that's a different sign, another sign of pathological grief. Or either you may see like a person with a closet, and they could need room for somebody else, but they would not get that deceased person clothes out of that closet. And they would even sometimes it caused, they wouldn't even leave the way their bedroom was arranged when that person deceased. Some people allowed and let their bedroom stay in that same state long as they isn't going through a stage of pathological grief. And sometimes people show open or subtle threats of self-destruction of themselves. A lot of times you may see people not taking care of themselves the way they normally would do. And a lot of times people, they display antisocial behavior. They'll be alone, or they'll want to withdraw themselves from others. And either you might see a person who normally was real calm and pleasant, they might have excessive hostility or moodiness or guilt now. And then a person may start drinking or using drugs excessively. They call this stuff using that to die down the pain. But normally what they're doing, they're trying to cover up what they really feel. But alcohol and drug abuse is not the answer to that, because when that situation, the results from the drinking alcohol go away, that person go back into that same state they was concerning the deceased person. And sometimes you might see people who withdraw and they refuse to interact with others. It's not that they're acting funny, just they're going through that stage and that period when they want to be alone. And it takes time. For some people, you might see And everything I'm saying about what now, you might see some people react differently. Like I say, it all depends on the temperament and the person who they was with. And a lot of times, you might see people act different towards some person, and it could be someone that's close to a mother or a spouse who may not show any kind of sign of being in grief. But it all depends, too. Another thing depends on is the relationship that person had when they was alive with each other. That person, that couple, that sibling, that mother, father, not necessarily me because they're got that high position or title in your name, in your life, is being your mother, your father, your spouse. But sometimes people don't even have a close relationship. So that way you may not see signs of pathological grief within a person. You might say, dog, how can they laugh or keep going on and they child just died of their mother or their father, their spouse? And sometimes it be to the reason because they wasn't even close with that person when they was living. And all time, like I said before, they refuse to change the person room around and get rid of their clothes. And like I said, the position that it was in, when a person lied, they'll leave it just like that. And they have the resistance to offer counseling or to help others. Sometimes people, they don't want to receive help. They feel they just want to stay in that same state that they're in because they feel as though they're grooming or they feel they're mourning over that individual. That means show the signs of how much they really love that person. All of these are just signs of pathological grief. And another one is refusal to show emotions or to appear affected by the loss. And like I say, a lot of people try to hide grief. They try to avoid grief, but that's not healthy to do that. Whatever in you, let it come out. And that's the way of being getting a relief of whatever in there. And a lot of them is a happy almost or your furry attitude. That means sometimes it explains that rejoicing in the Lord. It's just like a person, you want to say something. You know, you say something encouraging to them, and you might say, I'm sorry to hear about your loss. And they might just say, oh, why are you sorry about my loss? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just rejoicing in the Lord. They're in a better place. Nothing's wrong with that if that emotion is coming out genuinely. But sometimes it could be miscaptured as being pathological effects. And people say that, and they'll keep speaking that, trying to get away to get peace within themselves. And another one is intense busyness and unusual or hyperactive. Just like some people, they say busy. Like some people might want to withdraw when the person is deceased, but then some people, they just get busy and they try to avoid being in a situation of being still because they don't want to think about the deceased person or what that situation happened in life. So they'll stay busy and keep their mind themselves occupied doing different things so they no longer want to do that. And it can affect your physical and emotional effects of grief. Sometimes you may have physical symptoms in your body, such as pain. Sometimes you can have sleep difficulties. It's hard to sleep. And you can have a poor appetite. Sometimes even that grief may cause the effects that may cause you not to eat. Then it may cause you to be overeating. And also could cause shakiness or, you know, trembling in your body when normally you wouldn't have that. And you could just be dizzy, like your equal level to just be off balance. And all these just triggering just from being grieved, it just shows different ways how it affects the body. Not necessarily nothing, you've been sick or sick of being grieved. Sometimes people never had headaches, start having migraine headaches. You could get the dry mouth and you could just find yourself just crying spells. When you think it's over, you think about situations or things happened with that loved one that's been deceived or could have happened. You just find yourself continuing crying. And sometimes it could be you could go to the symptom of just being numb. And also you could just go to the time of the shortness of breath. These are just different symptoms or the effects you could have by doing grief. But now you want to concern like, okay, how can you prevent grief? How can we prevent from being grieved? But grief, of course, it cannot. And it should not be prevented. And it should not. That's a normal emotion that God has given each and every one of us when different things happen in our lives. That's a way of something that we're stressed out of our body. But when survivors show no grief, it is possible that there was no close relationship with the deceased. Like I said, a lot of times when you see people not even grieving no relationship, I mean, over the deceased person, it's because they probably had a close relationship. But it's also possible that the grieving process is being denied or avoided. It don't necessarily have to happen right then. It's not that the person don't care about the loved one. It just sometimes it depends on that person, individual, their body temperament and their relationship with the person. Sometimes they could be in denial, and sometimes they could be, you know, just don't want to accepted what happened. And then sometimes it could just be a shock, like their body normally just ain't kicked in yet. But that also could lead to pathological reasons. And that's the kind of, like I said earlier, that's the kind of abnormal grief that we want to prevent. We don't want to have the pathological grief, because how we could prevent that is before the time of death, we should talk about the unhealthy grief reaction should begin long before death occurs. A lot of times we talk about things and talk about death, about death after the fact to get there, instead of explaining. Sometimes we talk about death before it gets there, because a lot of times families and people now don't even have insurance for a family member that's had passed, because simply for nobody wants to talk about that. We say, oh, we ain't talking about death. We bind death in the name of Jesus. We ain't going to talk about death. We'll just catch the rapture. No, it's just wise to talk about death, and that'll be even, you'll be able to prevent grief when you prepare for things like that, because even a time when a person has passed and it's time to funeralize the person, when there's no money, no insurance left, it causes other kind of grief, financial grief on the whole people involved who's still alive. So when you before you talk about time of death, before death even occur, and a lot of times you clarify family relationship. You know, sometimes grief is complicated by guilt, anger, jealousy, and bitterness, and sometimes even competition. So you be competitive with people and other issues that never were resolved. That caused that would cause you prevent death. You cause grief to be made before the death, and that can be prevented. And subsequently, grief made smoother if before death, family members they learn to express and discuss feelings of frustration, because a lot of times when people get angry, we don't we hold back forgiving one another. We just hold on, think tomorrow is always promised, and we leave and with those different issues of being available. But then when a person dies suddenly, we left with that grief. But we learn how to, you know, discuss our feelings and frustration with others and with friends and family friends. That can cause prevention of grief. You won't have to feel guilty and grieve about that. And another way to prevent a grief is verbally forgive and accept forgiveness from each other. The Bible says we need to forgive to be forgiven. A lot of times a sad thing to be able to not being in a place to forgive a person who has been deceased, and you have issues with them, and you live with that guilt. So a lot of times you can prevent extra grief and grief in your life is learn how to forgive each other. And another thing is to express love and appreciate and respect others and respect each other. And that'll cause another way to prevent grief, and it won't feel so bad. A lot of times after a person has been deceased, and you might see some people just really on the top, just really feeling grieved and looking grieved and just crying and emotionally, they feel like they can't get together. And a lot of times that'll happen because they had unfinished things that wasn't pleasant in their life with the person deceased. They never got ahead. Now they'll never have a chance to make it right. So as we can, every day God allows us, we got to express love and appreciate and respect each other. And another thing is to prevent grief, you can develop a healthy interdependence and avoid manipulation and immature dependency relationship. We don't need to take advantage of each other and manipulate people. We need to grow up and just be the people that God called us to be. The people won't have to revert about being grief when you find out we don't use an individual, take advantage of a person, and then we start feeling guilty about that after the person has been deceased. But to build a better family, it is always important ways to prevent pathological grief. This, of course, is an idea that many families cannot reach unless they are helped through training and counseling. A lot of times you need to build a friendship. When we build a friendship, grieving is harder when there is no established network of supportive friends who can give intimate support in time of sorrow. And then a lot of times no man is an island. We hear that said all the time, and that's so true. We need friendship. We need people around us. And we all need to be able to lean on, who's able to give us comfort, and a group of people who can be a relationship instead of putting the dependence on two friends. You might say, I just got two friends, but you'll be surprised that you will have the support of a lot of people. You may not even communicate with the people while you're alive, but during the time with somebody else has been deceived, and I've heard deceived, you'd be surprised, like in the society. The church should be the best example of a community with caring, affirming, and the friends. A church and the family next to the immediate family. The church and its pastor become the first line of support in times of bereavement. But when people are involved in church before the lost, for it is more meaningful and readily available at all the times of death and afterwards. That's why we show ourselves to be friendly. We show ourselves to respect people and give people. And when you do things like that, your name means a lot, and what you do says a lot. And then, God forbid, but if when you a person has passed and they have planted good seeds, they have good support for the family, before people in their jobs, people in their church, people in their community, and that has caused the surviving people to feel good, to know what part that person played in the injury of their life. And another thing to prevent from keeping grief is to keep active. You know, people who are involved in a variety of recreation worship, you know, they work and have other activities, find that they are fulfilling involvement that helps soften the pain and death of a lost one. That means they keep continuing to go on. They don't find themselves sitting, you know, thinking about the situation. They keep themselves busy. And assimilating mental health. A well-adjusted people who have learned to handle little crises, successfully unusual handling grief with success. People have learned to express emotions freely and have faced their frustration openly and have to admit to discuss their confusion and problems. Don't be in denial, because all of us are human, and all of us will sometime or another expect, and sometime we'll be able to go through the grieving process with loved ones. And when you do that in a way that is mentally right for your mind, instead of being in denial, it will be a good part of preventing grief. And also at the time of death, the hours and the days following death can have a strong influence on how grief is handled, communication, and news. And it is not easy to announce a death, especially when a death was sudden and unexpected. And for this reason, medical personnel and the police and others often carry this task as quickly and assistively as someone is being as possible. And you have to think about this, too, with the person, where they are when it who have lost a loved one. It's a detrimental to just tell somebody abruptly about the loss of someone. We have to be very prayerful about that, because it's a true fact that a person has been lost. You want to express that news to the person, the bereaved person. You have to think about the timing and the place where you do that. Don't, you know, you have to be mindful. You could do tell a person while they drive in the car. You could be on the car driving. You telling them news about someone they are lost and their family member or friend, and you never know how that person is going to react. You know what I mean? You have to be thinking about the place where they are and the place they could express their grief, you know, a way that they'll be safe and nobody else to be in danger. And another thing, you have to strengthen the caregiver, the person who's taking care of that person. You know, you wonder, should the caregiver or should the counselor ever cry? You know, you have to think about counselors, caregivers, hospitals, nurses, doctors, who was relating to that person, taking care of that person when they're alive. Of course, it's good for them to cry. If the crying is real, it shows them and it shows the family that the other person in their lives was more close to them. It shows them that they cared about their loved one, too. And it would be a help of the living person about them, how they'll deal with the grief person, the grief on the bereaved person, how they'll deal with the knowing that their loved one was cared by other people. And grief comes in so many different ways. I talked about it all day, last week and all day today, talking about the effects of it, and we see how to deal with us emotionally. We see how to deal with us physically, and that means taking care over the whole body. It's taking care of the whole man of an individual. And it's nothing that any of us is exempt from. All of us will experience it sometime or another, and some people more than others. But we have to know that grief is common and it's real. And people will handle grief differently. That means a person not necessarily not strong enough for the individual, then love the person more than less how somebody else. You might have siblings lost their mother, and you may see one react as always emotionally crying and withdrawn, and you may see another one just going on with their life real strong and acting like lucky go happy. That doesn't say that that person, the sibling, didn't love their mother like the other did because they're grieving or anything. It all depends. We have to recognize and realize that each and every one of us, God has given us temperament. And you have to realize also, including with that, we have to think about the relationship that the live person had with the deceased when they was alive. worse they close to each other, because, like I said, you can have a spouse and may lose another spouse, and they didn't show no sign of grief, not like a lot of times people think they should be. It's not necessarily mean that they didn't love them. It could be that that person never was close, even though they was married, even though that child and that mother, they was and they had a relationship. They was their mother, and that was their child, but it's possible sometimes they didn't have a close relationship. And it's sad to say, but it's true to say, sometimes people not being close when they're not having love, like we talked about earlier, not having love and respect for each other, it caused the way grief to be expressed from an individual, it is what it is. And that's why it's time for us to love one another, support one another. We have to respect one another. We have to forgive one another. We have to also discuss our feelings and our frustration, our concern we have with others. Not necessarily have to be a family member, but anybody. Everybody we come in contact with. It could be your employer. It could be your friend. It could be your relative, anybody. We have conflict with people. Talk about it. You know, we go in the right way to talk about different conflicts. We have to express our feelings towards somebody for a misunderstanding, because we don't want someone to be here today and gone tomorrow, or here today and gone today, and we be left with that grief and on us, left with that something we're trying to get by. We can't change what a person wants they left him. So always find a way to make things right for individuals. So the conclusion about the grief here, we know that grief is a universal experience that all of us will experience. You know, if you escape it, you know, with some are trapped by it. And those who come through it often feel that they have had a painful, refined experience. But grief is not something that we can seek or grasp eagerly. It sometimes comes without warning. It's received reluctantly and can only be conquered when we are faced honestly with divine help, that's from God, and with the support of other human beings. It means that it is a pain that God often uses to mature us and to make us more equipped for the master use. But so I'm going to leave with you to know, whatever kind of grief you may going through and in, God has given us his word. God has given his presence. God has given his Holy Ghost. And I'm going to leave with you the 23rd Psalm. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He made me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they have comforted me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That 23rd Psalm, it captured every area of life to let us know that God will never leave us. He will be with us no matter what we need. He said he is our shepherd, and we shall not want for anything. And I pray and I thank God for I know what he has given us in this frame of word of grief and discussion of my grief for the past 2 weeks, and it gave us the insight to know that God has the answer to all our questions and a solution to our problems. And I pray that you will utilize what you have heard, and you can also go and listen to the broadcast every week. We have something for you. And I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, for allowing us, God, to come before you this day, God. We thank you for giving us, God, the insight, God, of grief, God, to let us know that it is from you, and it's tempted to grieve, God, and that you've given us people in our lives to be able to comfort us, God, and we know we could get comfort for you, God, in your word, God, and God, we just love you, God, and we just praise you, God, we thank you, God, right now, God, for any person who has not given their life to you, God, we thank you, God, now, that they'll give themselves to you, God, admit to their sinner, God, and just know, God, and agree, God, with your word, God, that Jesus died, and he raised from the dead, and now he's on the right hand of the Father, God. Anybody come to you, God, you say you are nobody against that, God. We thank you, God, for salvation, God. We thank you, God, for just giving us the answer to grief, God. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And may you receive this broadcast as a sweet sound in your ear and use it to edify God. Until we meet again next week, God bless you.